Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future for our children. That's wrong.
National Intel Report. Tonight is Wednesday, November 8th, 2023. I'm your regular Wednesday host, William Rapillum. And please go to republicbroadcasting.org. And if you have the means to do so, please donate to the station, folks. Please, because we are listener supported. And we rely on those donations, especially those regular recurring monthly donations, so that the station knows what they've got coming in and can continue to bring you the content that they do. Now, I don't make money off this, so it's not to pay me. I'll tell you that right now. This is all done out of, for me, just because I want to get the truth out and have a passion for doing that. And my two guests tonight are, I think, the same as me in that sense. They do this for the same reason. And two greater heroes than I am, for sure, because we've got two people here who've dealt with real life lawfare situations. One you know well, Monica Schaefer, and then Kathleen Dudley, and so. I want to bring you on and introduce you, but I just going to preface it with that I first heard Kathleen on October 28th, I think it was, on Blackbird's show, week before last. And it was an incredible interview. And it kind of put into the concrete sort of understanding of lawfare, and a concrete example of lawfare that Lark keeps calling in and trying to warn us about. So essentially lawfare, for those who maybe aren't aware of it, is the new judicial system, I guess you would say. It would be like Blackbird calls Boone, North Carolina, New Boone. Well, we call lawfare new court system, which is a nefarious and criminal communist, obviously Jewish system for inflicting terrorism, essentially law terrorism, onto the people. And unfair, you know, things are decided ahead of time. And then the court system is merely a dog and pony show, or, you know, just a show, essentially. It's just, you know, I always forget the words, but you get what I'm saying. It doesn't mean anything. It's just there for show.
Like theater. How about theater?
Political theater. Yes, exactly. I know there were so many different euphemisms I couldn't come up with. But
the Muppet Show. The Muppet Show.
Absolutely. Yes. The Muppet Show. Yeah, Jim Henson.
Alfred actually called it that. Yeah. Alfred called it that in our trial in Germany. So he actually said those words. The judge didn't appreciate it, but he did call it the Muppet Show. Sorry, carry on with your introduction. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just thought I'd throw that in there.
That's pretty much it. So, yeah, Monica, I want to first welcome you to the show. Welcome back. Monica.
Well, thank you so much. I really look forward to this afternoon or this evening. I guess it depends where you are.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And for the first time ever, I'm speaking tonight to Kathleen Dudley, and it's an honor to have you on the show, Kathleen. Welcome.
Well, thank you, William. It's really a pleasure and an honor for me. And of course, to be able to be on this with Monica again, always wonderful. Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to our discussion. We're going to kind of, you know, talk about whatever you want to with respect to what's happened to you. And get into some of Monica's story a little bit too, if we, you know. But we really want to make clear this whole thing about lawfare. And I think it'll help, because I know a lot of the time Lark will call in and he'll pretty much, he's got so much information that it's hard to digest all of it. He'll give us 10 different things to go look at. And it's, so I want to do more of a high level kind of understanding, high level discussion, but also get into the nitty gritty about the specifics of what happened to you, Kathleen, give you opportunity to tell your story. I know you did it on Blackbird's show. Please, folks, go back and listen to that show from October 28th and on the Snack Shack with BB9, Blackbird BB9. And look for Monica and Kathleen, and those will pop up. That will pop up right away there. So without further ado, let me pass the floor over to you. I was going to kind of go and talk about some news or just kind of do a little brief overview. But I think there's probably been plenty of broadcasts of that already. We could talk about what's happening in Israel a little bit. I mean, it's I'm quite exhausted with it, but I did want to mention that I did watch another one of Max Egan's videos. That he does excellent videos, and he provides footage and very objective exposure of what Israel is now doing to the Palestinians. It's absolute Bolshevism. There was, in fact, one of the videos that he did, I think it was October 31st, is called, let me find it real quick. Okay, where is it? Let me see. Oh, I sent it over to Mike. So let me grab it from there and I'll read you the title. But it's one of the more recent ones. If I can find the jumping over here to the next. I can't seem to navigate anywhere right now for some reason. Hang on a second here. Annoying. All right, finally. yeah, so Israel is a terrorist state, the true face of Israel. Mike's going to put it in, is going to put this, it's titled Israel's a Terrorist State, Devastation in Acapulco, which I think Acapulco is mentioned in there somewhere, but it really exposes what's happening in Israel. And it really, really, what I saw was disturbing. Israeli soldiers taking Palestinian men, it was all men that they were, and they were throwing them, just had their hands bound with a plastic tie wrap, with their mouths and their eyes taped shut. And they just dumped them into a pit. Dump them into a pit and shoot them in a pit of tires, light the tires on fire. I didn't see them light the tires on fire, but what I witnessed there was exactly what I saw in learning about what they did to Russia and Bolshevism. So it made me know that, you know, the Palestinians aren't the first ones to be genocided this way by the Jews. But they're the ones that are currently going through this absolute Bolshevism right now. I mean, this is just, it's just really, I don't know what to say about it. You know, I thought it was something that happened 100 years ago, and here they are doing it again. So it's proof that they want to do this all over the world. You know, they want to do this to anybody. They would do this to us for sure. And I'm sure they plan to. So, yeah, just wanted to mention that. I think it's really important that people see it, as hard as it is to watch. So let me stop there, and I'll kick it to both of you if you'd like to comment on this specific issue before we get into your situation, Kathleen. Kathleen, let's start with you. Did you want to comment on that at all?
Well, I think Bolshevik communism, no matter how you slice it, is Bolshevik communism. And it doesn't matter if it's 100 years ago or today. The same tactics, the same brutality, the same psychopathic personalities are behind it. The Marxist Communist Manifesto is infused. It is Bolshevik communism, and it has been running its program since it was laid out, and the Russian Jews were persecuted in the Bolshevik Revolution. Yeah, it's hard to say much else other
you
than
mean
the atrocities.
Persecuting, you mean? I think
persecuting. Yes.
Yeah, you got that. Just
what did I say?
Clear.
What did I say?
We're persecuted.
Oh, persecuting. Yes, thank you, Monica.
No, I knew what you meant, Kathleen, but we want to get off on the right foot here.
Yes, we do.
Well, you know, yeah. There are those that say that some Jews were persecuted by, you know, Stalin, I guess. You know, I have a hard time believing that Jews were persecuted at all, you know.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm just going to jump in with a comment here. There was a Jew who moved to Jasper, the town where I lived for 37 years, and he only lived there for maybe a couple of years. And at first, he really befriended me. He liked to sing, and he liked my music. And so he was very, very friendly. But then when he discovered, you know, my viewpoints, he turned quite hostile. And I remember getting a debate with him, and I have never seen anybody react with such a spark of fury. And like, it's like I ignited something in him. When I said this to him, I said, you know, I think that over the years, over the millennia, over the hundreds of years, more Jews have been killed by Jews than by non-Jews. And I'm telling you, it's like he went ballistic. He went ballistic. And I think it's because I actually hit a nerve, meaning it was true what I said. But, oh, I've never seen anybody go so ballistic. I thought he was going to blow a fuse and maybe even just use physical violence. But we were in a public place, so he couldn't do that. But, you know, they do kill a lot of their own when their own step out of line. That's the point I'm making with this. The Jews have killed a lot of their own when they step out of line, when they try to, you know, assimilate too much with the Gentiles, that kind of thing, when they don't follow all those strict rules that the Jews have for Jewish behavior, you know, and Jewish bad behavior. And then they have all those rules about, you know, eating an egg that came out of a hen with its pointy end first, or don't eat it on a Saturday. I mean, I don't know. That's, I'm not actually quite making that up. I remember reading some of these ridiculous rules that they all have to follow. I mean, I'm sure not all Jews do, but it just, you know, they have a gazillion rules that they're supposed to follow to be good Jews. But it's, I think it's part of their crazy making, you know, their psychopathic behavior. But back to you, back to you. I just wanted to interject that. But I don't think, well, perhaps that's what was going on in communist Soviet Jewish Bolshevik Russia, is that, you know, some of the Jews who didn't want to go along with the program, maybe they were also being persecuted. I don't know. But I just thought I'd throw that in about that Jew in Jasper. Tal was his first name. I don't remember his last name. And he was there just for a couple of years. And boy, oh boy, he was very, very Jewish, very Jewish. And the way he reacted when I said that, that told me a lot.
Well, there you go. You know, the one of the other things that that me, Michael Jones, talked about in one of the videos is you have this dialectic, and we all know this, and we're all very well versed in this, is this dialectic that exists, right? You have this anti-Zionist Jews, and then you have, but what are they saying about Bolshevism, the current, you know, Bolshevik international, you know, rotting the country from within and taking over and doing like what they have done to, say, Blackbird has described to his town, Boone. They take over, they overthrow all the levers of power, and then they steal everyone's property. So now we're getting into more about what Kathleen, what you dealt with. I want to quickly mention right before we get into that, that I listened to this rant. I found a Wardle Rants by a guy named Lucas Gage. He goes on an epic rant about Jews in Israel. And it was an absolutely fantastic rant. And I looked him up and I found out he's an actor, and he's, I guess he's married to a man. So I was like, well, what? That made me suspicious of him a little bit. But the rant's worth listening to. You wouldn't know this. Anyway, I just want to mention that. I never even knew who Lucas Gage was. I think I've heard the name before. But it was very well set dated, the rant. Again, it's on Wardle Rants. Lucas Gage goes on an epic rant about Jews in Israel. All right, so let me kick it over to you, Kathleen. You've been dealing with this lawfare situation in your own personal life, like as Monica has, with being thrown in jail in Germany without... with a mock trial, and where, you know, and also our... Alfred also sitting in jail again now for raising his hand to show how high his dog could jump one time in the yard when he was doing his previous sentence. Now they've come back and thrown him in jail again after he was out for a whole year. And then they came back and threw. So the whole system just doesn't make any sense at all. It's just nonsensical. And it's Jewish through and through. And, you know, so... Let me segue that over to you, Kathleen. Sorry for my awkward segue, but I'll just kick it over to you, I guess.
Thank you, William. Nothing awkward at all about it. It's complicated, and you did a fine job. I wanted to just make some reference back to the Bolshevik Revolution and all of that. The Jews were kept out of Russia. They were kept out of Russia by the Tsars because they saw the kind of degradation that they brought to countries. And I believe they've been kicked out of almost every country across this world. And so when they finally took the Tsars down, was their opportunity to basically have revenge. And they did revenge. Whoops, 40 to 60 million noted documents of murders of Christian Russians. So yes, it's a revengeful thing. You don't want to keep them out. And so my segue into what is happening in my life, and Monica and I talk about this regularly, it's the micro of the macro. But here, hello.
I think we're going to skip the first break. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
Mike, so can you confirm? I heard the music come, but then it went away. Right as I said my... Okay, all right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Kathleen.
So here I am. I'm basically trying to keep them out. And you could paraphrase it in those simple words. I have owned property in New Mexico for 25 years, and I have been sued by a very wealthy landowner and politically connected landowner who is connected with the Biden administration. And you can see that with documents online. And he's been referred to as the Rockefeller of Mora County, which is the county in New Mexico where I live. And essentially, out of willfulness, they sued me to gain greater access through my own private property. While they had a permissive use easement through my land, which my predecessors gave them and I graciously passed on to them, they decided to sue me, and they wanted to widen my easement, and they wanted to bring 100 of their closest family members through my property at will, along with hunters. Now, basically, at the same time, I was being harassed by a fellow who knows this party who sued me. And what I have come to realize, he's a proxy for another landowner who also knows the Rockefellers of Mora County. And this has been a conspiracy. The family up the mountain, the Chicken Swingers, harassed my prior husband and myself twice in past decades. And he was charged and convicted of harassment and disorderly conduct twice by the state of New Mexico. It's my understanding today, as I peel back all the complexities of these cases, that the guy who's been harassing me today is a proxy for the prior harasser. It all sounds stupid. It all sounds, oh, what a silly story. Couldn't you do a better job? But that's the problem with this kind of stuff, is that they're not clever, but they do try and make things as confusing as possible and as unbelievable as possible. To complicate things more, both cases had the same acting judge, and both cases had the same attorney. Now, I managed to get the attorney off, recused from the harassment case, because it turned out he had been representing the harasser in a prior criminal case. So he had to recuse himself. So there's now a new acting judge, but the same attorney on both cases. When I contacted the court for protection from being harassed, I found out a couple of things. That this guy had been in prison for 15 years for violent crimes against women, for disorderly conduct, for harassment, for property theft and damage, et cetera, et cetera. He had a dossier of 290 pages from the Grand County Sheriff's Office in Colorado. It was alarming to get the full accounting of this person who was now harassing me. But the second part that shocked me was that his attorney sued me, claiming that I was the menace. And that's where the twist comes, the tort. They were moving away the focus of this well-seasoned criminal, 33 years of crime, and attempting to put it on me. And then they actually had a kangaroo court in which Monica participated. And Monica, you have some pretty interesting perspectives on what happened there.
You want me to just jump in with that little...
Please do.
It's actually quite hilarious. So it's on Zoom, right? We're all in the virtual courtroom on Zoom. So you can see probably 9 or 12 people at the same time whose images are showing up, right? So I was there with my name. I don't hide my name. It's Monica Schaefer, and I'm not hiding. My face is there. So somebody in the crowd deemed it worthwhile to bring this up, to basically smear Kathleen by association with me, this, you know, quote unquote Holocaust denier. And I think it was one of the witnesses, right, Kathleen, who brought it up. Now, do you see on the courtroom, in the image there, that a certain person, I don't remember how it all went down, but basically they, even though this story has nothing to do with World War II history, it has to do with these neighbors and the issues that you just described, but somehow they always have a way of insinuating this Holocaust story into everything. And there they did, even that, they brought that up simply for the purpose of smearing you, defaming you further, because, you know, that's an evil thing if you doubt or question their narrative of World War II. Back to you, Kathleen.
Well, thank you, Monica. And, you know, I was just reading the smearing and the defaming that Benton Bradbury writes about in The Myth of German Villainy, and how, you know, the description of all of Hitler's cabinet and what they said about them. And it was just, it was like PTSD of the trial I went through. And what is still being written in the documents by the opposing attorney. And so there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same playbook. And but there's an interesting thing about lies. And I read this in the book on political ponderology by Andrew Lewiski, or I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But he says when someone lies, like they're perjuring an oath, they're on a, you know, on the court and they lie. The only thing that one can do in response is to say, that is a lie. So if they have made up a very large story of untruths that absolutely chill our bones, and then the response by the man or woman is, that is a lie, it pales by comparison. And so the psychological impact of a lie and the fact that a counter to it is really, it holds no weight in a society where there's no honor, where there's no integrity, where there are no principles, no values whatsoever. And that is exactly the society of Bolshevik communism. All of that framework of principles, that framework has been thrown out. It has been discarded. And we're left with the exaggeration and the emotional hits from the lies. And so that was pretty interesting and pretty big. Now, one of the things to talk about a little bit is why my case in the courts might be of interest to people. Because many people have injustices happen to them. But we are today, as William pointed out, facing courts that are not courts of justice. They're administrative tribunals. They're deceptively operating as courts of justice when actually they're for-profit corporations, and they're listed on Dun & Bradstreet, purporting still to be a constitutional court. But they're not constitutional. In fact, they have no jurisdiction. So when I was first thrown into the courts by my bar attorney, whom I fired, I then had to learn what to do, how to stand on my own rights. And I began learning constitutional law, the Bill of Rights, and speaking sui juris, and that's how this fight, and that's how this response is in the courts.
Okay. Let's pause there. Fantastic. All right, we'll be right back with Kathleen Dudley and Monica Schaefer talking about lawfare, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back after the break here.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1 ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10 ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Pink Floyd, One Slip off the Momentary Lapse of Reason album. Fantastic song. Just really brings me back to growing up. Kathleen, I really like the direction this is going, because this is going to be incredibly helpful information. And I have a very, very compelling question. And that is, first of all, is the case still going now? And then, let me let you answer that. But I don't want to forget my second question.
Well, the case started. I was sued in 2019 in July, and then I requested that the court protect me from the harassment from the felon in September of 2021. So these cases have been ongoing. I'll be in my 5th year next summer. I mean, I'll be 5 years in these by next summer. So yes, they're ongoing. And I have both cases in the Court of Appeals, but the Court of Appeals is listed on Dun & Bradstreet doing business for profit as well. So the Court of Appeals is not necessarily doing business for, you know, is a court of justice, but business for profit. So their intervention isn't necessarily a bonus for me.
It's just appalling. I mean, most people are like, would hear this and just go, what? The Court of Appeals is traded on Dun & Bradstreet. It's a stock, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Every case that is brought to the courts is turned into a bond. I believe it's turned into 3 bonds, and then they are traded on the stock exchange. And it is a huge, as you can imagine, huge money-making endeavor.
Wow. And then, of course, that would incentivize them to steal your property, to make their bond worth more money that they steal. Well, it's just, oh, my. I mean, even me, I'm just really, this is just digesting this. This is just think about that for a second, folks. Don't mull over that one. The Court of Appeals and the case itself is like packed into a stock and sold on the open market, sold on Wall Street, sold on the stock exchange. All right. So I think everything I just said is correct, right, Kathleen?
That's correct. And what you could add to that little packet is that every time you are pulled over by a cop and issued a citation through the UCC codes, that ticket is turned into a bond, and that is traded on the stock market as well.
Hey, well, that all makes sense. I don't know how long it's been like that, maybe for the entirety of the existence of the United States. Do you know about that? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, the United States became a corporate government officially by a treasonous Congress. I'm going to guess here. It was in about 1884. As I recall, I know that date is off a little bit.
It wasn't 1871?
Well, it's very possible that it could have been 1871.
I'm trying to remember what the event that happened in 1871 was. Something.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I just haven't refreshed my memory in a while.
Okay. Well, there we go. So my next question. So you are standing on your own with this, and you know, I mean, the whole system is so rigged and corrupt. You've got lawyers making money on both sides off you. Often, you know, you'll get completely cleaned out by a case like this, no doubt, almost every single time. This is just, you know, a way that the Jews strip you of all your wealth. They come at you with a lawfare case and you lose everything trying to defend yourself from this horror, this absolute nightmare, this Jewish nightmare that's being perpetrated. So how does one stand on one's own? I guess you're finding out as you go. I imagine it's been quite, I'm sure, you know, you touched on this on Blackbird's show a bit. What would you like to add there?
Well, I never wanted to learn about law. I never wanted to learn about the legal system.
Don't blame you at all, yeah.
I really had many more things that drew my attention. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. I'm, you know, a gardener. I love to be outside. I'm a writer. I do many things that don't draw me to law. But what I came to realize was that I had been programmed to remain ignorant about my rights And that is why we're in the place that we are today. We have taken the laissez-faire road. We have gone to sleep and allowed our rights to be stolen from us. So as I began to realize that, and I had the great fortune of meeting Margie and Jack Flynn, who are two remarkable constitutionists, and they are my mentors. So over the years since the first lawsuit, they have helped me basically learn how to write my documents. So all of my filings that I file with the court, I have had their mentorship, and I could not have done it otherwise. So as a living, breathing woman on the land, with all my inalienable and unalienable rights secured to me in the Constitution, a woman of flesh and blood, with my name spelled only in upper and lowercase letters, I declare my constitutional position sui juris, a woman speaking for myself and not accepting the jurisdiction of the court. Now, that's a real mouthful, and that's something that I write in every document and present at every hearing and every trial, because if you do not declare your own jurisdiction, if you do not remove yourself from their corporate language, their legalese, from their maritime admiralty law jurisdiction, they assume that they have jurisdiction over you. But from the very beginning of this case, I have challenged jurisdiction. And then I use the very statutes that support the Constitution that don't abrogate it. For example, there's one by Maine versus Thibodeau, and it says, jurisdiction, once challenged, cannot be assumed and must be decided. Now, that doesn't mean that the court will go, oh, you're right, you've got jurisdiction. You've got jurisdiction. We haven't claimed jurisdiction. We haven't proven jurisdiction. Therefore, this whole case is null and void. Therefore, it's dismissed with prejudice. Well, no, they're not, as I mentioned, there's no principle in these courts. There's no honor in these courts. These are courts that are all about pretending, kangaroo courts, mock trials, and theft. And so here we have really a situation where I must stand speaking on my behalf, always separating myself from their legal system so that they cannot claim their entrapment. They want me to be pro se, which is part of the statutory maritime law language. And so every time they do, I rebut it. And I explain to them that they're violating my First Amendment rights. And of course, by trying to steal my property, they're violating my Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. And by being harassed and the court not protecting me, they're violating, again, my Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights to be safe and secure and to live peacefully on my own private property. So it's as if they're children who refuse to play by law. They refuse to play by law. They've made up their own system, since 1871, and not that far after that, the Bar Association established itself with its over 43 million statutes and orders and rules and prejudices. I mean, they it's swimmingly dizzying. So we when we know how to assert our constitutionally secured rights and rebut and speak our truth with the foundation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in everything that we say, never deviating from that, it appears, at least in my experience, that I can say that I am 4.5 years in this war against me by the courts, this unlawful attack against me. I am a lawful woman living on my own private property. All of the claims have happened on my property. All I have ever done is to support myself to remain safe and those of my friends, my family, and animals. So the most recent bout in a September 7th or 12th hearing was a demand by the opposing attorney to imprison me for not complying with an unlawful, unconstitutional order by the acting judge. So for 2 months now, I have been navigating a life with that threat of imprisonment hanging over me every day. And that's been a very huge spiritual challenge.
My God, you know, it's just, it's such a story. And I remember when you were on Blackbird's show, and I just listened to what you said about the judge. Can you repeat back what you told the judge? I think you told the judge that she was guilty of treason and that is punishable by death, hanging. And I heard that and I said, wow, man, you are the real deal here. You're just like fearless.
Well,
I'd love to hear a little bit about that again.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of guts and courage, and I have to always dig deeply inside to be able to do that at the opening of every hearing and every trial. I demand from the judge before the hearing starts a confirmation that they have sworn their oath of office to uphold the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, Article 6, Clauses 2 and 3. And the judge, excuse me, in the case of the one that I'm dealing with today, always ignores it. And I say, well, by the fact that you are ignoring saying that, and I have a copy of your signed oath of office through an IPRA request, I see that you actually have sworn your oath to uphold the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. And I said, by refusing to acknowledge that, you are perjuring your oath. Now, perjury is fraud, and fraud vitiates everything. And it also is treason. And treason is punishable by death. And it's punishable by hanging. And I looked directly at her, you know, on the electronic screen, and she squiggled a little bit. And I thought, wow, you know, she's sitting in her black robe. But I just wanted her to know that I know that even though it might be an old-sounding word and an old-sounding activity, it's still on the books as a law.
Now, does the judge know the difference between, you know, this is fairly new to me. A couple of years I've been introduced to this idea of maritime law and admiralty and maritime law and on the ship and stuff that was just so foreign to me. I didn't understand. I was like, what is this? Now, does the judge know about this difference between the corporation of the person versus the person, the non-corporation? The person can separate and change their political status, you know, from a citizen to a national and not be subjected to this, you know, communitarian lawfare. Does the judge know about this, do you think? Or
well, we're talking about a couple of things. So I don't use national, either U.S. national or state national. I stand on my constitutionally secured rights. And that's very, very, very different. And I'm probably one of the very few today who is doing that. Now, whether or not the judge knows anything about the Constitution is one thing. The opposing attorney claimed that everything that I wrote in my last document was just rote and meaningless. And the Court of Appeals said that I used no law to support any of my documents. Well, in response to both of them, they were responses in different documents, I indicated that therefore they're claiming that they are not supporting the fact that the Constitution, Article 6, Clauses 2 and 3, is the supreme law of the land. Therefore, they're warring against the Constitution. Therefore, they're perjuring their oath. Therefore, they're committing treason. Therefore, any actions that they're taking is null and void because treason and perjury are fraud. So the point is,
very nice.
By calling all of those things out, it holds them accountable. And whether or not they know about state and U.S. nationals, or whether or not they differentiate, I'll tell you, after 4.5 years, this judge and the other judge and this attorney are getting as much of an education as I am. And in 25 years, they've not had any exposure to any of this. So they're, you know, I can't say what it means to them. But I can say that I'm still standing in the ring. And that in and of itself is, you know, I think it's pretty huge. What do you think, Monica?
All right, let's get Monica's thoughts when we come back from the break. We're already there at the last break of the hour. We'll be right back, folks, with Monica Schaefer and Kathleen Dudley. Must come down.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Oh,
All right, folks, we're back. Oh, I hate cutting that song off. I love that song. But we got some real important. I want to get Monica's take before we get to the end of the hour. We just got a few minutes here. We're going to take callers the second hour, the second half of the second hour. We got a lot we want to get through here. And yeah, so please call in the second half of the next hour if you want to, if you have questions for Kathleen or Monica. And so, Monica, I'd like to hear your response, how you relate to the lawfare situation, Kathleen's lawfare situation, and your situation.
Okay. Yeah. So you were mentioning you're still standing. Yes, indeed. You see, they do have what, you know, they have their predetermined outcome. For sure they did in Alfred's and my trial. They, you know, it's the verdict first and then the show, right? Now, in Kathleen's case, it's a little bit different, I would say. But yeah, they can do whatever they want because it's a completely illegal, unlawful, corrupt, unjust, you know, doing business type of a system, right? However, Kathleen is still standing. They didn't perhaps count on that her very strong spirit and intellect has given her this ability to stand in on, you know, on her feet and be basically countering everything they're throwing at her with stuff that they can't do anything with it because she is right. She is in the right. Yeah, I mean, another example of what they did that Kathleen didn't mention, where they just do whatever they want, and I want to mention it because it just stinks to the high heavens of corruption. There were many times, Kathleen, you had told me when they simply did not file your documents. Like, you put all this work into, you know, responding, doing things that you're needed to do, these things like jump through this hoop and that hoop and file documents, and then they wouldn't file them. So they didn't actually go onto the case. It's like you bring them in and they don't get filed. Like, how frustrating that must have been. How, oh, it just must have been like banging your head against a wall. I don't know how they can get away with these things, but of course they do what they want. So I kind of answered my own question there. I guess we are out of time. Oh dear.
We're at the end of the second hour. Hardly and Monica Schaefer talking about lawfare. So be right back, and thanks, and we'll see you in a bit.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.